Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to IDVAC Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the Institute on Domestic Violence in the African American Community, in collaboration with the Women of Color Network and the African American Domestic Peace Project. IDVAC Blog Talk Radio is made possible by a grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Administration for Children and Families, Family and Youth Services Bureau, and Family Violence Prevention and Services Program. Now, points of view expressed in this program do not necessarily represent the official positions or policies of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. IDVAC Blog Talk Radio brings you rich conversations and education on issues surrounding domestic violence in African American and African communities.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, it's so good to hear your voice.
And yours too, Dr. Davenport.
Yep, this is Dr. Davenport, and I got the pleasure of introducing a couple of my coworkers as we begin to work and share about teen dating violence and the different information you can gather about what you're thinking. Even though we said that help, my team is thinking about dating and targeting parents, I think this show also going to deal with some issues related to our youth as well. So everyone's welcome to listen in, and I'm glad everybody's here tonight. We have with us Mrs. Felicia Thomas, who is our Health Relationship Director for Our House Incorporated, based in the Mississippi Delta. And we also have with us Andre Richardson. He's our Green Dot Specialist. And then we have Ozell Pace. He's our culturally specific healthy relationship advocate. So we're just so excited about today and excited about this talk show. And this is going to be the first for a couple of us, but it won't be the last. So I'm just so pleased and excited about it. Everybody want to say hi?
Hi, this is Felicia Thomas.
And I'm Andre Richardson.
And I'm Ozell Pace, Jr.
And we are elated to be with you all tonight. We are glad that you were able to call in. And we hope that if you have questions that you want us to answer or if you have comments that you would like to make, we definitely welcome that. Before we actually get started, I want to just say I am the Health Relationship Director here at our house, and I have been employed here since 1998, and I am just so excited about having Andre Richardson and Ozell Pace with us. They are two members who have just recently joined our team, and I mean they have come with a burst of energy and a burst of excitement. They have come with so many creative ideas that we can implement within our community in order to reach our targeted population for our teen dating violence program. So at this time, I definitely would like for them to introduce themselves.
Well, my name is Andre Richardson, as Dr. Davenport, as well as Ms. Felicia stated. I am the Green Dot Specialist, also the sexual assault advocate. Actually, my main job or duty is to primary prevention. It's my job to go out to the communities and the schools and the churches to educate the students, whoever they may be, about preventing sexual assault. What are the warning signs? How do I get out of these type of sexual assault and these type of things of this matter? So that is my job. So if you're looking for someone to come to your school or come to your occasion or events or whatever, speak to your organization, I am that guy who speaks about sexual assault and the prevention of it.
And I am Ozell Pace, Jr., the culturally specific health and relationship advocate here at Our House Incorporated. And I work specifically with the African-American culture, ages 13 through 24. I deal with the topics ranging on domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, and dating violence. Now, although I work with the African-American culture, Our House offers a range of programs that are here and available to anyone regardless of race, age, gender, and socioeconomic status.
Okay, great, guys. So I guess I would like to share a little information about Our House Incorporated because we may have listeners who are not familiar with our agency. And so first of all, I would just like to say that we are a dual domestic violence and sexual assault agency, and we actually provide prevention and intervention services, and we cover 16 counties in the Mississippi Delta. We have been in existence since 1995, and we have a number of programs available to our community members. I will not go into all of the programs, but I would like to give you our website, which is www.ourhousenewbirth.com. So you will be able to, if you visit our website, it will give you more information on some of the services that we provide. I would like to share with you just two programs with regards to teen dating violence, since, of course, February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. And so I would like to share with you just several of our programs that deal with teens. And one of those programs is our Healthy Relationship Initiative. And under this program, we actually implement a 14-week healthy relationship curriculum. And currently we are implementing this curriculum in 4 high schools in our area, and we utilize 2 instructors to actually implement these programs. And they actually, each instructor will go to a school once a week, and they will remain in one class and teach normally 6 to 7 sessions per day. And some of the topics that they cover would be the warning signs, understanding what domestic violence, dating violence is, and even emotional abuse. So we have 14 weeks that we have with our children. And this program has really proved to be beneficial because it is long-term. It's not just a hit and miss time. It is a time where we can really go in and change the mindsets of our young people and really educate them and become familiar with them, allow them to become familiar with us. And it is as a result of this particular program that we have been able to identify many youth who are victims of sexual assault and teen dating violence. And the other program that I would briefly share with you about is our WAVE group. WAVE stands for Working Against Violence Everywhere. And we actually developed this program in 2010, and it consists of young people between the ages of 13 to 24, and they really assist us with ascertaining that all of our services are culturally, age, and language appropriate. And so they have been assisted us with developing campaigns regarding domestic violence, dating violence, and sexual assault. And I am humbled, extremely humbled to share with you that this group just received the Celebrating Solutions Award.
Hats off to the WAVE.
This award was given to us to showcase and applaud local innovations that demonstrate promise in breaking the silence of violence. Our WAVE Youth Council was actually selected as a program that serves as a model for the nation and was offered a cash award in recognition for their pioneering efforts. And we are so excited about this accolade, but we know that we must continue to train ourselves. We must continue to educate ourselves so that we can educate our community. So those are just a few of the programs that I wanted to highlight. And our topic today is help. My team is talking about dating, and it's Dating Violence 101 Prevention for parents, counselors, teachers, coaches, and pastors. And often throughout this seminar, you may hear us use the word parent. But please know that we the information that we're going to share is definitely going to be beneficial to others who work with teens, such as pastors, Sunday school teachers, anyone, school teachers, counselors, social workers. So in spite of the fact that you may hear us say parent, please know that this information can apply to all adults who work with victims as well. So one of the most challenging times for our young people is during the adolescent stage, is during their teen years. You know, it is during this time that our kids are going through emotional changes. You know, they're going through psychological changes. Their bodies are developing. They're going through physical changes. And actually, this is one of the times that they need adults more than ever. But guess what? It is a time that really don't want to go to adults because they are trying to be independent, you know. So oftentimes they won't seek the help of an adult. They will seek the help of their peers. You know, it's during this time that, whether they believe it or not, they are forming relationships that actually set the stage for future relationships. And given that 1 in 5 high school students experience dating violence, adults really should make sure that they, and I'll say we, do our parts to help understand what a healthy relationship looks like, but not only what it looks like, but what it feels like
that's
as
right,
well.
Right.
And so that's why we're here today, to be able to help adults learn how to talk to teens about healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships and give them some guidelines on how to navigate their world. How kids going to navigate their world? You have cell phones, you have social media, and so we really have to be up to date on, you know, all of the technology. And so I want to just kind of first start off with you all to just kind of tell me, what is teen dating violence? What would be a good definition of what one would define?
You know what, Felicia, before we do that, since it's a radio show and they really can't see the young gentleman, we need to let them know that the young gentleman is in the is just recently past the age group that we're talking about, and that the WAVE group you had said was ages 13 to 24.
Uh-huh.
Well, these two gentlemen can relate to that age. That's what really helped emphasize and bring us to an understanding that all these questions that we're going to be directing and you'll be directing to them are questions that our WAVE group came up with and other teams, as well as these two gentlemen. And so this is from the result of discussion with this age group that we're sharing this as advice to other people, especially to the adults. Because if you really, really want to help a teen, you got to talk to a teen in order to understand truly what they're going through. So this, I just wanted to give a little background to let them know that where our results and the conversation is coming from, and letting them know that it's not another group of adults telling you what to do with teens. This is some comments from teens.
Absolutely, Dr. Davenport. I'm glad you brought that up. So the guys will share that information.
Most definitely. When we're speaking today, we're not speaking from a bunch of, you know, research that we've done, but we're also speaking from our own personal experiences. Like Dr. Davenport has stated before, you know, we aren't too far removed. As a matter of fact, I'm only 24 years old, so I could actually still be a part of the WAVE group. I think Andre as well.
Yeah, as for myself, I'm only 21, so this is very important to me, and learning a lot from it and being able to speak to teens about it is very, very important. And also, I'm at DSU. I'm at Delta State University, where I attend school, and so this is a very important aspect of me going to the college campus, letting individuals know, you know, this is what happened, this is what shouldn't be happening, this is how you prevent this from happening, this is how you look at the signs of what's going to happen if you don't do this, if you don't do that. So, yeah, this is very important to me, and it also plays a part of my life.
I agree.
And you're both also speaking to the teens at the high school, if I'm not mistaken, as well. You've done that recently, too.
Yes, we have. We have done this recently. I think we were even going to talk about some of the candid conversations that we had at the high school. Well, he had it at Delta State recently.
Right.
But, yeah, we've had conversations with the teens, and, you know, I'm only a few years far removed from high school myself. I think about 5 or 6. So, you know, the mindset of the teens really haven't changed that much. But it is important that we educate our teens about what is dating violence. So if I was, telling the teen to all the parents, adults out there, letting your teen know that dating violence is a pattern of abusive behavior that one uses to gain power or control over another person. In today's time and age, we need to understand that this happens in both heterosexual and homosexual relationships. And it comes in forms of verbal, emotional, sexual, physical, and digital abuse. And I can see Andre, he just fidgeting, waiting to talk about that.
Yes, and as he stated, these type of abuse, you have verbal, emotional, sexual abuse, or physical, digital. And we know that physical is basically like hitting you, slapping you, kicking you, pulling your hair, choking, or using the weapons. And we know that sexual abuse is involved with sexual slurs or attacks, unwanted sexual touching and kissing, engaging in sexual activity. And as he stated, verbal or emotional, we know that calling out your name, giving you threats, screaming, yelling at you. We know, for example, you know, I could say you're ugly, you're fat. These are all emotional things, and these are things that are hurting one, but we're trying to prevent these things from happening. Even he stated digital, sending pictures over social media, texting over social media, doing all these type of things with technology, because we know today technology is ruining the world and technology is advancing day by day. So we are trying to stop these things from happening.
You know, go ahead, Isaiah.
Okay. Well, I was about to, you know, chime in on digital abuse because it's one that is very, you know, very new to, especially without this generation. Digital abuse occurs because we just don't have Facebook anymore. We have Twitter. We have Instagram. We have Snapchat. And a lot of adults don't know about Snapchat or even have to even get on Snapchat. But something that we need to be aware of because, and a lot of the music now is talking about social media. It's talking about abusive relationships and disrespecting women and degrading them and calling them. And actually, these songs are abuse themselves because they're showing verbal and emotional abuse. And even in some of the videos, it's physical abuse happening. So we have to be able to relate to our children. So we have to, as adults, you have to step back and know what your child and what your teen is listening to, what they're consuming. And I'll be saying this a lot over the time is that if a person hears something long enough, they'll begin to believe it and they'll become it.
So you all mentioned about digital and, you know, with the cell phones and everything. And I was just reminded of a case that happened here in one of our service areas just a couple of years ago. And it's where this young lady actually received via her telephone text messages that she had received from her boyfriend. And those text messages indicated that he was going to kill her when he saw her. And this was on the day of her homecoming parade, and she was the homecoming queen. And she actually showed those text messages to different staff members at the school that she attended. So, I mean, what is it that you can say to adults, to parents, to teens who whose child may receive text messages like that? What would you say to them?
In this day and time, we have to focus on the safety of the child regardless of what. In any setting, in a school or church, home, we have to focus on the safety of the child. Whether the child is telling the truth or not, we must still take caution and take action as if it is the truth. And if it is the truth, we must take it to another level of a higher authority, trying to protect that child. Because who knows when someone say those type of things? Who knows you're playing? Who knows that this is not the truth, that this is not what you're going to do? So we are here to prevent those things from happening. So we have to focus on the safety of the child no matter what. If we know that child is getting threats and getting messages, getting phone calls, we must take that in consideration, withholding that child, stopping that child from going to this event or doing this, or stopping this person from calling, monitoring the calls, seeing how many times they are calling, see what each message is about, how is the child responding to these things, how is the child reacting to these things. So we must understand what it is that this child is doing, because we want to protect this child more than anything. Our job and our main focus is safety. We want this child to be safe, because we know that if this child is not safe, there is things to happen. There's things bound to happen. This child could be hurt. This child could die. So we must focus on the safety of the child. That's the whole primary goal, is to save, to keep that child safe. No matter what is going on, that child needs to be safe.
Right. And
Odell, what about, how do you know if your teen is in an unhealthy relationship? What advice could you give to the parents to help them recognize the signs?
Well, and that's actually a great question. I was actually about to talk about that. So,
well,
you know,
good. I'm glad I introduced you.
I'm glad you did. knowing that your teen is in an unhealthy relationship, there are a lot of warning signs that you need to be looking for. So if you, and whether you're a parent, whether you're a pastor, a teacher, or a counselor, but if you start, you know, seeing your team has unexplained marks or bruises, that should raise some type of red flag in your head. If your team's partner is extremely jealous or possessive, that should also raise a red flag. Jealousy is the number one warning sign. Everyone needs to know that. So if you're around your team and they're constantly emailing or sending text messages or on social media and it's overly excessively. Now, I know we live in a digital age and everyone's always on their phone, but if they're in a relationship and they're more on their phone, you know, with you, or they're more, you know, they're always texting, they're avoiding family events, and they're no longer participating, or they're slacking in their grades, and if their whole behavior, their demeanor is changing, even if they're dressing differently, these should raise some red flags that, hey, my child may be in an abusive relationship. And 9 out of 10, it is.
And even to say that, even the child having nightmares, afraid to be seen in public by anyone, afraid to go places because what they may see, what they may hear, what the person may do. So we must take these things into consideration because we have to understand that there is a problem, and as soon as the problem can be addressed, the sooner there can be prevention just take place to protect this individual so that this person won't go through these things. So we must take consideration that it goes back to the safety of the child. We must protect that child with all of our substances that we have in us to protect that child, make sure that child is safe no matter what's going on.
Well, also, I'm looking at when you all was talking about these red flags.
Uh-huh.
I think it's important for the parents to understand and pastors and teachers and adults. If you see one red flag, that don't mean domestic violence. You have to look for several signs and recognize several signs. Like he gave the example of nightmares, losing weight, negligence in their clothes, constantly not having the attention, looking for more than one because it could be a reaction to something else. So we don't always label them until after we do a investigation or a questionnaire or an intake, as I would say, with that particular person to determine that this is teen dating violence and not child abuse, because there is a difference between it. But there's a whole lot of similarity. So it's real important, as Andre has said, that safety is first. So whether you suspect either child abuse or teen dating violence abuse, it should be reported. I know you was about to say something, Felicia, Mrs. Thomas, and I kind of cut you off. I do want to make sure before we get off the show, though, we talk about creating that dating bill of rights.
Oh, yes, definitely. I was just going to say something in regards to jealousy. You know, it's important. You know, oftentimes when you're thinking about dating violence, domestic violence, you know, you're thinking about the physical abuse. But, you know, and so that's one of the biggest things that our WAVE Youth Council stated that we need to elaborate more on is the warning signs. Because, you know, when they're saying that when you go on a date with someone, they are not going to hit you or slap you.
Right.
There are going to be many things that they're going to do to let you know that this is an unhealthy relationship. And so it is so important, like if a parent decides that they want their child to date, it is important to really find out who this person is that they are dating, you know, and ask some really deep-rooted questions like what is your relationship like with your parents? What was your parents' relationship like? You know, just asking those type of questions. What do you feel like your role is going to be in this relationship? What
right.
do you feel like my child's role is going to be in this relationship? So parental involvement is so important if we're going to lessen the number of teen dating violence incidents. And so you talked about something, jealousy, extreme
right.
jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And
just
so,
right at the high school the other day,
yes.
I was talking about the warning signs, and I mentioned jealousy. And one of the teenagers, this is a senior, said, well, it's cute. And, you know, it kind of, you know, took me aback. And I'm like, it's cute. And I'm like, under what circumstances? And she was like, under certain circumstances, it's cute. So I asked her to give me, you know, an example of under what circumstances is it cute to be jealous. Because we have to come from the mindset of the teen. They think, oh, he or she just love me. They don't want me to be with nobody. So, you know, jealousy is a good thing to them. But and truthfully, in all honesty, we need to reassure and make sure that our teens know that jealousy is not cute. It is far from cute at all, and it's a warning sign that we need to be alert of.
And what Felicia said, let me add on to what you said.
Okay.
About if you're going to have guidance for your children,
mm-hmm.
when you asking that significant other of your child about their parents and all of that, one of the main purpose in you trying to find out the background on the person who's dating your child is because domestic violence overall is a learned behavior, and it
mm-hmm.
can be unlearned. So if they're living in a house of violence, that to them is normal.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand the background and the history of some of the individuals that you are dating, fellowshipping with, hanging out with, and all parents should be made aware and know the name and phone number of every person who their child associate with their parents and who to contact.
Yeah, and I want Andre to kind of focus on, we had talked earlier about Facebook, and you had mentioned some very interesting things that you felt like parents should do with regards to social media.
Uh-huh.
So can you just give a little bit of detail about that conversation?
Sure. We have to understand that social media does have its restrictions, but we as parents or teachers or whatever, we have to understand that there is ways around everything. If your child is on social media, specific Facebook, you should also be their friend on Facebook. You should be able to be on their page to see what they've been posting, the pictures that they've been posting, the videos that they have been posting, and to see who are their friends, see who are their mutual friends. And you should also, if your child's on Facebook, you should have that account so that you can go back and see the messages that who your child is talking to, who's directing messages your child, what type of things are being exchanged in that message box, in that DM, in that direct message box. We have to understand that those things do happen, and kids or your child will have things from you and won't say anything. And sometimes we know that people are out here making these fake pages. They're pretending to be 18 years old when they're actually 41 and 32. So we have to be very mindful of that. So I think if your child is on social media, you should be there to monitor that page 24/7, seeing the time things are being posted, seeing when the pictures are being posted. Where are the pictures being taken? Who is taking the pictures? So you have to be much, much aware of those things, and even to see, you know, what's have been here from the timeline, what's deleted. You could tell when those things are happening on Facebook. So we have to be very, very cautious about those things.
Right, and I would just like to add to that. I agree with everything that he has said, but as parents, you have to be cautious because, asking your teen, hey, what's your password to your social media network? It could cause them to rebel or even question, or even an argument, well, why did you need my password for? So just ensure them over the process or even before they get on social media that you ensure to them that the reason I want your password, or I actually not even want but need your password, is for safety. It's because I'm concerned about you and I'm concerned about your safety. So just, just always talk to your children and be able to have an open line of communication. So communication starts before they become a teenager. Just don't, pop up and say, hey, I want to have a relationship with you now that you're a teen. Mm-mm. You have to start way before they hit teenage age, so when they get to that point, they're able to feel comfortable around you and talking with you.
And even not Facebook, do Instagram as well. We know that Instagram, for those who don't know, is a picture social site where you just post pictures and comments. Look at even the pictures. Sometimes, the emojis are a big thing in society today. Look at who's posting the emojis. Sometimes it be hearts, kisses, hands up, thumbs up. Be careful about those things because we know that on social media, your actual name is not there. You can put different usernames there. Go to those type of things. Click on those people's names. See who they're actually talking to. See the type of things they're posting on your child's page. Even if they have direct message with Instagram, see what's being done and see who it is that your child is talking to daily. That's very important because we don't know. And these people can be far beyond, can swing your child, can make your child prefer your child to come and see them and do this and do that. So we have to be careful about those things with social media because that plays a big part when your child comes to be needs to be safe.
Excellent. So what happens then when I'm a parent or teacher or whomever and I have discovered that my student or my child is already in an unhealthy relationship? They are in a teen dating violence relationship. What is it that I can do? What can I say to them? Just give me some tips that would help me. You know, because a lot of times as adults, we want to help. We want to run out there. We want to just do what we can. And sometimes we can act so quickly and we make the wrong choice.
Right.
You know, we make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. And so just give me some tips on what we as parents and leaders, adult leaders, can do.
Well, first and foremost, I would say listen and give support to your team. Remember that team may still love that person or may think that they love that person. So whatever you do, just listen and give support. Just don't be listening to appease them or just so they can stop talking, but actually show a genuine concern for what they're going through, because it is a serious issue. Show a concern, and I know that you may have an urge and a tendency like, hey, I really want you guys out of this relationship. It's bad for you. But you have to understand that leaving a relationship, leaving an abusive relationship, an unhealthy relationship, that's the hardest time, not even the hardest time, but the most dangerous times as well. You also need to avoid giving ultimatums. Don't say like, hey, if you don't break up with him or her right now, you're grounded. You won't be allowed to date in the future. I'm going to take your phone. Don't do that. Don't give them ultimatums, because we have to understand that these are teenagers. So this is a sensitive time, a sensitive age. You don't want to cause them to rebel, because they may have unresolved feelings for the person that they've dated or currently are dating. So don't give our ultimatums. That's a bad thing to do. But show concern, listen, and give support.
Because I think, just piggybacking on what you said, we really have to make sure. When you think about it, we want to make sure that at that time that our child is really ready to get out of their relationship. Because if we're demanding and forcing and what have you, the only thing that's going to happen is that they're going to try to go back our back to do it. And so, you know, it is important to sit down and help them understand why it is important for them to leave that relationship.
Right. And talk about the behaviors and not the person. So, you know, never talk about directly about the person. Never say, hey, Sally Mae or John Doe is this or that. Mm-mm. Always talk about their behaviors. I don't like the way, you know, an example would be like, I don't like the way that he or she texts you. Because you have to understand, I said this earlier, that he or your teen may still be in love with that person. So you don't want to cause them to rebel. And we want them to make this decision on their own.
Right. And also to add on to what Mr. Pace said, you have to be prepared. What I mean by that, you have to educate yourself about dating abuse. You have to must understand what it is, you know, what is it? And, you know, how could you go into contact of how to deal with it? And finally, you must decide on the next steps together. And you have to understand that that's a plan of action. You must come with a plan of action in order to have a plan of safety. So you have to come up with something, the two of you together, to say, hey, this is what we need to do. This is how far we need to take it. It's just not a one-person thing. It's a two-way thing. You must communicate with each other in order to find out how it is we can both be safe. Because sometimes the perpetrator may come after the parents. So we have to be careful of what we're doing, how we're saying these things to the teen. Because going with the teen, you know, like Mr. Pace said, being rebellion and causing things to happen and not being safe and don't understand that they are not safe. So we must be prepared and decide on the steps together on what it is that we need to do in order to be safe.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's pointing out what is happening, that this is not normal behavior. Because, you know, when you think about it, look at all the TV shows, look at all the music, the lyrics that's in the music. You know, I mean, a person's mind can come so bombarded with those images and thoughts and things of that nature to where, you know, I mean, I could call some names of shows that, you know, have unhealthy relationships, but they make it appear to be so very normal. And so when your teens are looking at this type of shows and everything, I think it's important to sit down together with the teen. Now, this is me. You all can tell me if you think any different. But I think those are teachable moments.
Right.
Instead of just shutting it down,
right,
sit down and watch these kind of shows with them together and say what – and to me, I don't feel like I should say to my child, this is this, this, that, well, and the other. I feel like, yeah,
share with me
what's good and what's not good about this. So y'all want to elaborate on that?
Oh, we can take one popular show. I'm pretty sure everyone watching it watches it every week. Tyler Perry's Have and Have Not. So we see two different families here. Well, actually, more than two different families. Three different families, all different dynamics. But when you get down to the heart of it, there is some type of abuse, dating abuse, some type of violence, whether it's sexual abuse, verbal, even digital, as we see this playing a part. So if you were to watch that with your teen, because more than likely your teen is already watching it anyway, whether you're watching it or not, but to even to watch an episode, you know, after that, have a conversation, you know, with them, you know, so tell me how do you feel about this show. Or just, you know, make it casual where they don't feel like you're pressuring them to answer these questions or it becomes a daily quiz and thing. But it's a normal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you're having dinner time,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't have dinner separate tonight.
Mm.
Don't, you know, sit at the table, sit in the living room, you know, eat your chicken or whatever you're eating. And but bring up discussion, you know, type of like, you know, like, What kind of man do you want to marry? What kind of woman do you want to marry?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are your expectations in a relationship if they are currently in a relationship or not in a relationship? So talk about those things.
And you know what else you need to look at and focus on is when you're dealing with domestic violence, what precedes it a lot of time is stalking. You all were talking about a movie. I said, Lord, look at the perfect guy. You know, that particular movie that came out, that was nothing but pure stalking. And now they even have the O.J. Simpson trial on. And what was the discussion about that? Everybody's talking about the acting skill, but what about the real issue of what happened to that young lady? There are so many movies and different articles. And when Felicia said music, I was like, oh, we need to start praying right there. I don't know, what kind of advice can you give the parents about music other than they need to start listening to it? I can't understand half of it. I'm old school, so, you know, I can't understand half of it. But, so how can you explain to me as an adult to learn how to appreciate that, knowing that it's degrading females and relationships?
Right, and I even just being so old school, but for me, it's even hard for me to understand the language that they're using in the songs and some of the lingo. So what I do, because I try to stay as relevant as possible, I'll actually go and try to pull up the lyrics, actually read the lyrics,
mm-hmm.
to try to get some type of understanding. So as parents, it's going to take that extra step to say, you know, what's my child listening to? Because, you know, one song, may, all you hear, all of a sudden you can hear is Lifestyle. I'm not sure who's this song is by.
I think it's Rich Homie Quan.
Yeah, Rich Homie Quan. All I get out of it is Lifestyle, whatever it says. But a lot of songs you can't understand, and it goes over your head because it goes over my head. But all you can do is try to pull it the lyrics off of the internet and read it and try to get a understanding of what my child or what your child listens to, what your teen is listening to, and what they are observing in their system. I said it before, if you listen to it long enough, you eventually become, well, you start believing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like our teens
believe.
A
lot of time they think they're listening to the beat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was
and
just
the message is under the messages.
Yeah, and I was just about to say that. By me being in college and in a fraternity and looking at different sororities and different fraternities, a lot of times we don't listen to what the music is actually saying. It's the beat and the sound of it, what it is that we're doing. But if you actually just sit down and listen to that music, it will actually have you thinking, like, I shouldn't be dancing to this. I shouldn't be moving to this because it's downgrading my body. It's talking up under my clothes. It's telling me who I am actually to men and what – what they think of me and how they feel about me. So, and I totally agree with you, Dr. Davenport. It's all about the music that they're listening to. It's just not, they're not actually listening to the message, because they're understanding every song there's a message. Every song there's a message to it. So, but they're actually listening, oh, it sounds good. Oh, this a slow jam or something like that.
They think they're listening to just a beat, but
right.
It's like a subliminal message.
Yeah.
And so what we have to know is that what we listen to, what we allow to get in our eyes, what we allow to get in our ears, is going to get down in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it gets into your heart, you start speaking and talking.
And it becomes accustomed to
and
you.
And then
think
you
the norm.
Have exactly what
mm-hmm.
you're saying.
Right.
You know, so we can say all day long that, yeah, I'm just listening to the beat. But I could say Campbell Soup. Well, I mean, what comes to mind?
Good.
Okay. Did you try to learn that?
No.
No, it was something that commercials that you saw over and over and over again.
Yeah,
so the same thing happens
yeah.
with the music and the lyrics and the television shows. It's just messages that you get without even knowing that you are getting them.
Right.
And so for me, I began to think, as you all were talking about the music, and I'm saying, if I had a teen now, I would probably ask that teen, what is your favorite song? Because I want to buy it for you.
Right.
And
oh,
I
yeah.
would get that song, and I would play that song, and be like, oh, yeah, you know. And then I would say, now let's bring out the lyrics to this song,
right.
you know. So really I'm buying into my teen, say, oh, my mom is interested. She's not trying to take this away from me or anything.
Yeah, right.
So you have
yeah.
to be we have to be creative
right.
in order to make a difference in the young people's lives today.
Yeah.
So I think that is a good tip
mm-hmm.
For a parent to take, you know, ask your child what's their favorite music, who is their favorite artist, and start purchasing that kind of type of music, you
right.
know, or pulling it up on YouTube and listening to it, and not only listen to it, but then dissect it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So
that's
I
great.
Think that was excellent.
Yeah, that was.
So, you know, Dr. Dunbar, did you have anything else to say on that?
I like that suggestion of Googling and getting the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
I like that approach, and I also like that approach where you said that, let me go buy this for you, and let's listen to it together. I had never thought about it in that way, though it's something that would have seemed like it was the most common and logical thing to do,
mm-hmm.
but until someone put it out there into words and steps, you really don't think about, oh, that's something really easy I can do in
mm-hmm.
order to do that. When I was looking on the list, I saw here that it said education for parenthood. So are we trying to say we want to educate them on the dynamics of domestic violence and sexual assault, or do we want to educate on steps in parenthood in how to be a parent? What do we really mean by this question?
Educating them on domestic violence and dating violence, like what is it? How can you help your teen? Some of the things that we've already gone over, you know, providing them with tips that they could use to prevent their child from becoming a victim of dating violence, or not only just to prevent it, but if their child is already a victim, you know, things that they can do to end the violence
right.
that's in the relationship that they have.
What?
So that I think Andre kind of came up with that topic,
yeah.
and so basically that was the position he was coming from with educating our parents on those issues.
Yeah, and with the
and
violence.
You also was talking about modeling respect at the home. I mean, how can we share with other adults without offending them? You know. A lot of times you talk to them and say, well, you need to do this, this, and this at home, when they think you're picking on them. You know, like, I'm not a good mama or I'm not a good daddy. Is that what you're trying to say to me when you're saying this? Or what is the meaning in the definition of respect, and what are you asking? Are you asking them not to do domestic violence, sexual assault? Are you asking them on how to teach there? Because some people are really, really, I know, I would probably feel offended. You came up to me and said, Madame Port, you treating your child Becky wrong, and you should talk to Becky like this. Now, see, we would have to have a discussion. So, teens, young adults, you need to tell me how we need to approach someone who's in another generation or considered just older than you in how to develop respect or honor respect in the house. What are your recommendations on how to approach?
Well, yeah, well, modeling respect in your household, and you know, that goes back to are you showing your team what a healthy relationship is? And that's the basis is, you know, in your household, are you talking honestly with if there's a, you know, a significant other in the household? So are you talking honestly? Are you being honest with that person? And is your team seeing you being honest with your significant other, with their parent? Is your team seeing you compromise when compromising needs to take place? Does your team see you listening to each other, respecting each other, trusting each other? So it all plays a part is basically, do you have a healthy relationship in your house? Because a lot of the stuff that the teens see are learned behaviors.
Yeah.
So it's what they see from the house, from their home, and they take it and they display it. So, you know, if you're in the home and you're yelling and all they see is yelling and fighting, then they'll begin to think, well, this is okay, because this is what a healthy relationship looks like. Yelling and fighting and pushing each other is healthy, and they'll begin to believe that. So we need to make sure, you know, as adults, that we are modeling respect and healthy relationships.
So, yeah, and I think if you come from that angle with stating to a parent that, you know, we're just bringing this information to you because domestic violence or dating violence is the learned behavior, whatever your child sees. And so evaluate your relationship. We're not saying that you have an unhealthy relationship,
right,
but give them some tools where they can evaluate themselves, evaluate their relationship, and see, now, is this the type of relationship that I want to see my child in? You know, and I think coming to them non-judgmental and, you know, just coming to them with compassion and genuine, I think that will definitely receive the information that you're trying to give them. But we may have callers on who may be saying that my child isn't in an unhealthy relationship. You know, so what do we do in that case? You know, what is it that parents whose children have not yet began to date, or parents who have children or their parents, children in the school system who have not began to date, they're not, you know, what can you share with them about relationships?
Right. And if your child is not in an unhealthy relationship, then that's wonderful, and I applaud you and your team. But for some people, it's not all the case. But for your team, for your child, conversation still needs to start. You still need to begin to move that wheel and still to talk about it. And one of the things that was mentioned earlier, the Dating Bill of Rights. I love the Dating Bill of Rights, and I'm going to take that and run with it. The Dating Bill of Rights is simply, you know, letting your child develop their own Bill of Rights. I have a right to be loved. I have a right to have fun in my relationship. I have a right to be respected. I have a right to say no. I have a right not to give you out my number. So allowing them to structure their Bill of Rights, and it's based off of, you know, the child understanding and knowing their self-worth. And you can go on and, you know, your child may not be dating. And ask your child, well, do you have any friends that are dating? Or, you know, what are their relationships like? Would you want that in a partner? So asking your teen, you know, what kind of characteristics do you want in a partner? And, you know, the list goes on. Asking them, you know, are any of your friends in an unhealthy relationship? Do your friends, you know, yell at each other? Do they push each other, abuse each other? You know, are any of those warning signs that we've discussed, you know, being able to ask your child that?
And to piggyback off him, it's basically what you're seeing and what are you telling them, how they're reacting to you. You can ask them, are you seeing these things on television? How do you feel about these things on television? Are you seeing these things done, you know, in your surrounding? Are your friends doing these things? Do you see your friends getting hit on or beaten or talked about? How do you feel about it? What's your response? Are you engaging, or are you preventing, or are you helping? What are you doing? What are your choice of you being the friend? What's your role? What's your doing? So basically, it's go back and the parents say, you know, it's all about the safety. You just want to know what will they do just in case they get in a relationship like that. How would they react to it? Would they be able to tell you? Would they trust you? Would they believe, you know, that you're going to go get help? Or they feel like, I'm not going to tell nobody. I'm just going to stick with it. And it's just going to be it. So we have to be able to have that type of courage to ask our children or our teens, you know, hey, is something wrong? What is it? Come to me. You can talk to me and stuff like that. So we have to have all those things in our source of matter to understand what it is that our teen is going through.
I think that helping teens to set boundaries,
right.
You know,
yeah.
And I'm saying start setting these boundaries before you even start dating. You know, like what? Like a big circle that's around me. What is it that I don't want to come near me? You know, and know that because you can't wait till you get in a situation and decide, you know, what I want. It's very difficult. But when you think about it prior to,
right.
You know, you can think about, well, no, I don't want you calling me out my name.
Right.
You know, and the minute that someone does that, then you know that. That's a red flag.
It's a thing
you know,
I don't want. Right.
Exactly. You know, and so there are other things. You know, I don't want anybody to tell me how I can dress or how I can't
right.
dress, you know. And so when it happens, you immediately know that you are overstepping your boundaries.
Right.
Because if we don't get it at that point, then, you know, that's how the domestic violence and the dating violence really began to increase and escalate, you know, because we don't stop it at that very beginning.
And that goes back to, as you said, setting boundaries, also having your goals and your values, what you want, what you don't want, how you want it. Ask yourself before you start dating, do I want a guy that's going to hit on me? Do I want to be hit on? Do I want to be called out of my name? Like everything you said was perfect. So let's go back to setting your goals, setting your values, what you have been taught, what have you have been looking at, what have you been seeing with your natural eye, what have you been hearing with your natural ear. You know, these things are what you see. These are, you know, the triggers. You know, what are you looking at? What are you seeing? What's these things around you that have drawn your attention to say, I don't want to be that type of person. I don't want to do this type of thing. I don't want to be pushed on, pushed back. I want to be that type of person that's going to speak out and speak up on these things because I don't want to be that type of person.
Right.
And there may be some teens that's listening, and, you know, they may be in a violent relationship, and now that they've heard some of the things that we're talking about, and they may identify with being a victim, or they may just be listening and, I want to really talk with, you know, the listeners or giving them some information about what are the consequences, what effect does teen dating violence have on your children? Because, you know, parents may not even see it as being a real big issue. And we know ultimately because we have experienced it in our community that teen dating violence could definitely lead to death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we have seen that with Latasha Norman. We have seen that with Bianca Keys. We have seen that with Shelby Harmon. And so, you know, we really have to put on the mindset of our teachers, our counselors, our parents, that dating violence can lead to death.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the other things or effects that teen dating violence may have on a teen?
Right. So we first, and I like to tell everybody this, that these consequences, they're short-term and some of them are long-term.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just, the list goes on. A child that is doing, okay, just for a few seconds, stepping in the mindset of a teenager, if you just got out of an abusive relationship, would you really want to be in the same school of him and her as him and her? So, you know, you wouldn't feel safe. So, and if you wouldn't feel safe, then you'll start missing days and you start being at home a lot. So you'd be absent a lot. And it caused you to do poorly in school.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you know, you could have thoughts of suicide. Mm-hmm. A lot of the teens have thoughts of suicide, and they have reported feelings of feeling, you know, hopelessness and sadness. And, you know, you can even become pregnant and even have an STD. But the list goes on. Because if you experience teen dating violence at a young age and you become a victim, you can carry on over into adulthood. So that's your long term. It can cause you to enter into a violent relationship or even a violent marriage. It can also stop you from being even a positive citizen, a positive member of society. In high school, that was one of our missions, was for everybody to be a productive citizen of society. So it's kind of hard to be a productive citizen of society if you are a victim of dating violence and the issue, it wasn't dealt with. It wasn't handled proper counseling as well. So, you know, not being a proper citizen of society, consuming large quantities of alcohol, binge drinking, that's a consequence, engaging in unhealthy diet behaviors, gluttony, overeating, being obese, you know, and the list goes on, losing, gaining control, not being able to, you know, control that. So, you know, the list goes on. And self-worth, not knowing, not, you know, your self-image, because it damages that as well. It can, for some people, damage that. So that's one of the consequences of being a victim.
Okay, so you know what? We have not said anything about the perpetrator then.
Wow.
So we've talked about consequences and how it affects, you know, teen dating violence may affect the victim. But, you know, what about the consequences as related to being a perpetrator of teen dating violence? Does anyone want to address that? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, since you know, I can
well,
go
you
on.
Know, as you addressed that, we need to kind of wrap it up. We should have had a 2-hour show or a continuation because we really got a lot of information. We're down to our last few minutes, and I did want to mention that we have a engineer, J.R. Thickman, who's also in the field of domestic violence, and he's giving messages all across the nation. And so he's the engineer running all our radio show and information. I want to thank him for stepping in at the last moment. Because he's a
You're welcome.
He
I'm here in Oakland, California, running the board.
Still, that's important. So if you all would just take maybe a minute and a half and kind of wrap up addressing that last question as well as just wrapping up and giving a last message to adults and how much we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself as you give your wrap-up.
Well, again, I am Ozell Pace, Jr., and I just can't stress enough how it is important that you communicate with your team, that you have that your team feel comfortable enough to coming to you and to talking to you about this. So always feel comfortable with them. But also in your home, in your home and out in the community, show respect and show healthy relationships. The teens, they are watching. They may, you know, like you probably tell them that, you know, I'm always watching you, but they are always watching you. They are still growing. They are still maturing so that they are absorbing everything from TV shows to music to everything in between. So I'm going to just encourage you all to do your part because to help end teen dating violence. It is possible. It's going to take all of us collectively working together.
That's good. Okay, Ozell.
That was Ozell.
And
so, Andre, yeah.
And like once again, I'm Andre, and basically I believe this. We want to heal the relationships. We want to talk honestly. We want to listen well. We want to respect and trust each other. We want to be able to rely on each other, give and take situations. We just want to be able to prevent, you know, all these things which we can avoid. And love one another the way we should. And you can start by this by connecting and liking yourself. Once you love and like yourself, you're going to love and like the other person. So you have to just love and like yourself for who you are, not for what people call you, not what they do to you, but love yourself. Know your worth. Know your self-worth. Know your value. Know that you are made beautifully and wonderfully. Know that you are somebody in the outside of yourself. Know that you are deserved to be treated well. You are a queen. You are built to be made to last forever. Just know that you are a good person. So it starts with yourself. You love and like yourself, you are loving like the other person most definitely.
And always remember to share with young people if they are in a relationship that it was never their fault. That is so very important. So we hope that you all have received some helpful tips with working with teens and unfortunately, we were not able to get to talking about how to build a healthy relationship, but maybe we'll get another opportunity to do that. Check out your local resources that's in your community. Get speakers to come in and speak at your different schools, churches, and what have you. And so we just would like to thank you all for this opportunity. And check out our webpage, www.ourhousenewbirth.com.
And our emergency number, in case you want some information, is 1-888-884-LOVE. And you can call that and get information about our WAVE program, about all of our teen dating relationship curriculum, or you can get opportunity to set up an appointment to have one of the gentlemen come speak at your church, at your school, community center, Boy Scout, Girl Scout. Basically, they're open to come out there and educate, and I feel that is exceedingly important. Thank you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed evening.
Well, that's it for today's show. You've been listening to IDVAC Blog Talk Radio, right here every week at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. IDVAC Blog Talk Radio is brought to you by the Institute on Domestic Violence in the African American Community in collaboration with the Women of Color Network and the African American Domestic Peace Project. Visit us on the web at idvac.org to find out more information about our guests and presenters and to download podcasts of previous shows of IDVAC Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, be safe.